Well, if you needed cheering up for the new year, you would have heard David Cameron's New Year message today. You haven't? No. Well, I'll quote one little verse from it. David Cameron says, "We are on the right track." Okay? Well, he might say that as believers in the Lord, we can confidently affirm that we are on the right track, though then people turn around and say, how bigoted to say that, but we know it's true. But whether everyone in the country is on the right track, that I'm not quite so sure. But he began the new year with a standard positive, politically charged message. Now, this is the last Sunday of 2012, and inevitably our thinking starts to be diverted towards the future. We start, you know, once all the excitements are out of the way, our minds then start to move towards, you know, the next one sort of thing. I was thinking of that hymn by Hilary Jolly. We keep singing 2000 harvest. We'll have to change it soon and have 2013 harvest or something if we keep on singing it for the next 10, 20 years. But it's ongoing, and our minds immediately start now to move forward, don't they? They start to move forward to the future. What will the, you know, what will the next year bring for us? Are we rather fearful when we look forward? Fearful because of uncertainties? Or do we have a feeling of excitement? We have so many plans to get through, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and so on. All these sort of things start rushing through our minds, though we can also say, as Richard indicated in his prayer, that we can also get resigned to the fact that some people say, well, it's another year, the same old routine, here we go again, sort of thing. So there's all sorts of ways of people can look at it. So that's certain ways to look ahead. Or is it like this message on a card in W.H. Smith's, which Malcolm found? Malcolm emailed this out. I don't know how many people got this, but sometimes he emails things out and I don't think he realises who they actually go to. But it's quite an interesting quote for those that didn't get it. It said, due to the present economic climate, the light at the end of the tunnel has been switched off. Which is quite a positive thought. And perhaps we'll return to that thought later. Has the light been switched off? Well, of course, when you look at the state of our own nation, and we have been driven to think about that, haven't we, all through 2012, again and again and again and again. There have been so many issues, haven't there, that have been affecting us as Christians in the country, really important issues to us, many absolutely hugely moral changing issues that have been undergoing and so on, you know, in the country this year. And when we think about that, that can drive us very much into negative thinking, to the, you know, phrase we've used before, isn't it? You know, rowing up the River Thames with the tide coming in, you know, and if you're just not getting anywhere at all. So maybe that could drive our thinking into negative thinking. Maybe we think, well, maybe the light has been switched off. Maybe, you know, what's the point, and so on. So all these sort of feelings and thoughts can come to our mind one way or the other. However, I could put out a few positives. The first one I mentioned this morning, which my wife thinks is just ridiculous to mention, about one day's extra daylight in the evening. You know, that's a very positive thing to think about, isn't it? Yes, see, David thinks it is, so that's all right. But, well, it is just a minute, but it's a positive thing. What else did we say? The gorse has started to flower. The yellow flowers and the gorse start coming out in January. The bulbs are starting to come out, I think mainly because the soil has been washed away off them more than coming through. But anyway, so there are various positives, but they're not really going to do us a great deal of good. But it's better than thinking in the other direction, thinking in the negatives. It's really circumstances around us that drive our thinking more than anything else. And it can drive us to focus particularly on the short term of things. And it can also help us, drive us to focus on the long term of things, our grand scheme, our future plans. All these things can start coming into our mind. But all that's been said. It's nothing really. We have to step out into a far bigger picture than all of that. All of that's been mentioned. As Christian believers, we move into a far greater picture than our short-term plans and our long-term plans and this and that and everything else. So it's the bigger picture that we're going for to look to. Because if we lose sight of the bigger picture, then of course we will lose our way in our short-term plans and our long-term plans and our future prospects and everything else. We will lose our way, and the biggest way to lose our way is to start not to recognise that it is of course God who is in control of all around us and everything about us. Once we start to lose sight of that, then we really do start to lose our way. Now, this psalm really helps us focus on our priorities. So let's just go to that first verse and just read that first verse again, which, in one sense, fires off three great truths about God. Truth number one, he is our light and our salvation. Well, what a wonderful thought that is. We'll come back to that in a moment. He is our light and our salvation. Secondly, he is the stronghold of our lives. He is the anchor point. He is the great strength around us in all that happens. And linked to that, the third great truth is that he is our protector. The Lord will protect us. Now, these words were written by a man who was in great difficulty at the time, as we can see when we read the rest of the psalm. Huge difficulties that he was facing. And such difficulties could cause anybody to just throw up their hands up in despair and just give up. So David, who was the one who wrote this, of course, was facing horrendous problems swirling all around him at the time. But when you read the psalm, the focus isn't on those troubles. You know, he doesn't focus on those troubles at all. The focus is not there on the troubles. His focus is on the one who could provide him with the answers, or the answer to those troubles. Now, there's one sort of thing I really want to say in this sort of short little homily sort of thing. And it is about our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is not just based on knowing God's truths, but it is also about whether we are able to trust our experiences, all the things that happen around us, we can trust them to him. We could have the greatest mountainous theological knowledge. We could know every line on every book on our shelves of theology and so on and so forth. We could be the most knowledgeable as far as God's truth is concerned. But if this truth that we know just crumbles and turns to ashes all around us when things become difficult, and it becomes smothered with distrust and doubt in our own lives when the first or deep trouble and difficulty comes, then are we not really guilty of disregarding this truth? We could say our God is our sovereign protector, and yet when things happen we can feel a sense of despair and resentment and so on and so forth. And what we're doing is we're saying, well, I don't believe God is our protector. You see? There's a straight contrast. And emotionally we can be so often driven to think such things when we do face difficulties. Richard prayed and he reflected back, which I didn't ask him to do, but is that perfectly, that he did it, because when you look back you think of all the things that have maybe happened and so on and so forth. And I'm sure that things have happened through this year that have been difficult for all of us in some way, some measure of something. And think of your reaction at the time. I mean, I know I can think of my reaction at the time. And my reaction at the time can be something that doesn't as hold as strongly to verse 1 as I should have done. That's the thing. It's really getting the head round these three great truths and taking them on board and holding to them and trusting in them, which helps us then look ahead with that great confidence. And that to me is the crux of the matter. The other thing we do, of course, is when we face difficulties is our immediate reaction is to attempt to tackle them from our own resources. You know, well, I'll try and deal with this. We must try and sort this out and do this and do that and everything else. And that can also very, very rapidly overwhelm us when we're trying to fall back on our own resources to try and overcome these difficulties. And then we forget that the Lord has unlimited resources. Unlimited resources. And he has unlimited protection. And yet so often we forget that, and we immediately focus on ourselves and trying to, how can we get around the situation? How can we sort of deal with this situation, so on and so forth? He has unlimited resources, protection and guidance for us. And back to that verse 1. The Lord is my light. That's a very striking word. It's a wonderful word in the Bible, isn't it? It's used in so many ways, and it's used very powerfully there. Whom shall I fear? Says David. It is the light, and the word light here can mean our general sort of well-being that brings our guidance. It is the Lord's light that brings the guidance to us. And here it is David's expression of confidence in God as the one who brings salvation, because he puts it in the same sentence there. And the word Saviour is not used a lot in the Bible, but actually David uses it. I don't know if you noticed that in the end of verse 9. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Saviour. Certainly understands God as his Saviour. And David waits patiently for what is certain. He waited patiently for what he believed was certain. And to him, God's mercy, God's light, God's salvation, God's protection was certain, and that's what really comes out in this psalm. You think of Hebrews 11 verse 1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for, is us. Our own faith is being sure, not, oh, maybe, sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Do we see what's going to happen in 2013? No. But there are certain things we can be absolutely certain about. That's the thing. We need to hold to these certainties. Well, actually, there are some certainties for next year. And I'll just bring in two. The first certainty is that there will be opposition to us as individuals, as Christians. There will be opposition to the church. There will be opposition to the gospel. That's a certainty. And we know that will happen. There's going to be opposition, as we have seen through much of this year. But the second certainty, as David expresses his confidence in God's goodness, and if we move to verse 13, there is another certainty that God will remain a light and a stronghold to those who put their trust in him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that verse 13. I am still confident of this. He's all said, doesn't he? He lists off all the various things that are going on and all the difficulty he faces, and yet he says, and yet, still, I'm still confident. I'm still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He's absolutely certain about it. And is that our certainty too? And for David, you know, when he faces these problems, there's no impression of him thrashing about and panicking and trying to resolve situations and so on and so forth. And neither should we. Verse 14 really is an echo of 1 and 2, where David says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart. Aren't those encouraging words, really? For whatever is to happen in the coming year, be strong, take heart. A believer can have confidence, courage, patience as one who waits for God's love and goodness, knowing that it will come. God's love and God's goodness to us will come. And then, if we believe that, we can say with 1 Peter, it's worth turning to actually, 1 Peter 1. I thought I did mark it here. 1 Peter 1. And just a couple of verses. Praise be, from verse 3, sorry. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Isn't it already saying that whatever happens, the wonderful inheritance that the people of God, the people who believe and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, can never perish, spoil or fade, and it is kept ready. So one could end by putting the question back from that card about the light at the end of the tunnel. The card said, due to the present economic climate, the light at the end of the tunnel has been switched off. Has it been switched off for the believer? Obviously not. Because we have these wonderful truths from this psalm that affirm and encourage us to wait for the Lord, be strong, and to take heart. Now that, to me, is a positive message for the new year as it comes in. Well, we need to ask the Lord's help, because we are so naturally prone to fear and doubt when difficulties come. But perhaps when they do, we can remember Psalm 27 and that last verse, last two verses, I'm still confident of this, that the goodness of the Lord is ever present with us, and we can stay strong and wait patiently for the Lord's goodness to us, whatever may be in store through this coming year. Well, it's a very positive mindset to have, I think. And we need to pray that the Lord will help us to keep that mindset throughout this coming year. Let's just pray and ask the Lord to help us do that. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray and ask you now that you will help us as this new year is nearly upon us, that whatever circumstances around us, whether they be terribly difficult, whether they be minor, whatever, Lord, we pray that you will remind us to truly rest upon your great promises and to wait patiently for your goodness and for your loving kindness to us, whatever may happen. And Lord, do help us to keep a positive mindset and outlook to the future, and not allow us, Lord, to let the devil take hold, to drag us back with doubts and bitterness and negativity. But Lord, help us to continue to look to you and to place our trust implicitly in you, trusting in you as the sovereign living God, the one who is the light and our salvation. Lord, help us to trust in him as David did, and more so, Lord, help us to really cling to our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, throughout this year. Cling to him for his loving kindness to us and for his mercy. After all, he who bore our sin in his own body and who suffered so terribly in our place for the judgment that we so justly deserve, Lord, it is to him that we can place our full dependence and trust through this coming year. Help us, Lord, to do that, we ask, in and through our Saviour's precious name. Amen.